As you can see, we are starting a new series called DNA, and I get the privilege to start it for you. So it's called DNA, the Building Blocks of the Church. And before I get into it, I feel like I need to remind everybody, back in January, Pastor Tommy preached a message series called 6 Foot Baby. And I don't know about you, but to me, that was one of the most helpful, it was one of the most amazing sermon series I've heard in a while. So I would encourage you, if you haven't, if you don't remember it, go back, because it kind of lays the foundation to this sermon series. So, and I also kind of have to plug our app. If you get on our app, you can download just the audio and listen to it anywhere. So you don't even need Wi-Fi after you've downloaded it. So you can just listen to it while you're mowing the grass or whatever. So if you need help with that, me, Aaron, Bailey, we can help you out. But yeah, the app is awesome. You should get it. I get paid to say that. Anyway, I thought it would be a fitting start to talk this to a series to start. The series is about building blocks of the church. We are the church, so I want to talk about us today. We're going to start with us, and then in the next few weeks, we'll get into the church as a whole, the vision of the church, stuff like that. But let's start with us today. To successfully be the church God has called us to be, we, the church, have to be functioning at our optimal capacity. Would you agree with that? We always hear it. The church is not this building. The church is us, and we need to be healthy and functioning the best that we can as Christians in order for this church to do everything that it should be doing. God has a vision for us that's way bigger than any of us could ever ask or imagine. He's got a vision for this church, but it starts with us. It starts with us fulfilling our calling, and in order to do that, we've got to be healthy, functioning Christians. So, when I think about, oh wait, let's look at the definition of DNA. This is not the scientific definition. This is a layman's easy to understand definition. I don't know the full definition of DNA, but let's look at this. DNA, the molecule inside cells that contains the instructions an organism needs to develop, live, and reproduce. These instructions are found inside every cell and are passed down from parents to their offspring. As I said, it's not. You could go way, way more in depth with it, but that's just kind of a basic idea of what DNA is. And I don't know about you, but when I think about DNA, my first thought is my kids. And I'm going to show you a picture because I have to every time. I know it's really hard to see, but just about 6 weeks ago, little Gentry was born, and he's awesome. He's a great little baby. Jameson sitting there holding him. He's our six-year-old and then our two-year-old. That's about the only time you ever see him smile. He's usually just really mad all the time because he's a middle child now. You don't realize it, like growing up, you don't realize the effect that had on your middle brother having a new baby and an older brother. I was like, he's changed a little bit, so y'all pray for him. Anyway, so I think of my kids. I think about the traits that my wife and I inherited from our ancestors and then passed down to them. It said it was passed, like our DNA, the things that are in our DNA are passed down to our kids, and they don't have any say in it. They don't have any control over it. They don't have, like, it's just yours. This is your DNA right now, right? And things like their eye color, their skin color, their gender, it's all passed down through DNA. Their hair color, did I say that? How long they keep their hair, that's in your DNA, you know? It's in there. And also, like, things like health, like mental health problems, some of those things are passed down. Weight problems, all of that stuff. They didn't have a choice. If I had it, they have a chance of having it as well because of the DNA. And so we're talking that's talking about the physical DNA. And like I said, I'm not a scientist, nor did I study enough about DNA to give you guys a 20-minute lecture on it. So I want to take the idea of physical DNA and give it a spiritual application. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 25. Verses that we all know, and I think we just need to hear it again sometimes. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We all know that we're born into a fallen world. And every single day, it seems like it becomes more and more apparent that this world is in need of a DNA transfusion or transplant from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, right? It's every single day you look around, you turn on the news, it's fallen. There's problems going on, and the world needs Jesus. And the thing is, these fruits that we just read, they don't really come naturally to mankind, right? We say love does, but usually in a physical or carnal love, I love you because of what you do for me, right? The type of love in the fruits of the Spirit is I love you because God has. I'm gonna get into that. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Anyway, the fruits of the Spirit don't come naturally to us. And if you don't believe me, just look right above that in your Bible to Galatians 5:19. This talks about what comes naturally to us as humans and as mankind. It says the acts of the flesh is obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. You could go on and on and on. Envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul is telling us, the church, that the flesh, the things that come naturally to us, will most certainly keep us from our inheritance in God's kingdom. And I don't know about you, but if I have a family member pass away and they want to leave me something, I'm going to do everything I can to get that inheritance. I know my wife's, both of her great-grandparents passed away a few months ago, and she remembers growing up in her great-grandma's house, and there was this china hutch, and she loved it. She loved it so much. And her grandma said, one day when I pass away, you can have it. And I'll tell you what, that meant more to my wife than anything she could have gotten monetarily. You know, sometimes those things, there's just an emotional attachment, seeing it every time she went over there. And that's just an idea. Like, if God has an inheritance for me, I want that. Don't you? I want to know what it is, and I want to do everything I can to get it. Amen. I don't know why I said that. I didn't even say anything, and you're supposed to say amen. So that's how it works. Anyway, before I go too much further, I want to be honest with you. This message is for me. Like, any time I give a message to you guys, it's something that God has been dealing with me on. Something, I feel like when he's dealing with me, there's a reason. When he's laying something on my heart, there's a reason, and I need to share it. So that's what I'm going to do. Hopefully it blesses you this morning. I also need you to know that if anybody is looking to leave an inheritance, I can get you my information after service. I don't think I can legally say that, so y'all, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. Anyway, so how can I be certain that I do receive that inheritance? We got to do everything that we can to get there, right? To get to that next goal, to get to that final goal. But the first step is easy, right? We all know what it is, and if you don't know what it is, we'll give you that opportunity here in just a moment to complete that. But 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. Thank God. Thank God that he wipes away that old man. And every single day, I'm always trying to get ahead of myself. I got to get to that. When we choose to follow Christ, I thank God that we receive a new identity with new God-given traits. Our spiritual DNA changes, right? It changes from this carnal man, all of that list of terrible things. It changes to, we have this joy inside of us. We have this peace inside of us. We have this patience that we never had before, but we have to work on it. You know, it's not something that just like shows up. We're just all of a sudden new and, hey, I've got all the patience in the world for my 2-year-old, right? I don't. I do not. But like I said, the easy part is the prayer of salvation. Ephesians 4:22 says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That's the hard part. The easy part is the prayer. The hard part is what comes next. Every single day, I'm trying to put on this new man and show these fruits of the Spirit. That's where it gets difficult. That's where it's hard. Salvation doesn't stop at prayer. The prayer is just the beginning. I'm looking around this room. You guys, most of you have been saved for a long time. And I know this is probably, we've heard this message a million times, but just go with me just a little bit further and just open up your heart to hear what I'm trying to say. Every single day, we must choose to put off the desires of our flesh and to be that new self. We must choose to allow that spiritual DNA through the Holy Spirit to function in our lives. So things that, moments that I get impatient, or moments that you just really are angry about something, or moments where you're sad and you need joy, we have to seek the Holy Spirit in order for that fruit to produce. And it doesn't happen naturally. We have to seek the Holy Spirit. Every conversation, every interaction, every choice, every moment is an opportunity to act out of the flesh or act out of the Spirit selflessly in submission to God's calling. Most of the time, whenever you like put on these fruits of the Spirit in your flesh, you're wanting something in return. You know, you're wanting someone, if you're kind to someone, maybe it's going to make you look good to somebody else. If you give that person money who needs money, it makes you feel good. It gives you endorphins. It makes you feel good to be kind. And that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a selfless fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit becomes part of our spiritual DNA when we're born again. And if we aren't bearing fruits in our lives on a regular basis, I would challenge us. If we're not bearing those fruits, I would challenge us. I challenge myself. Do I really believe what I say I believe? Or do you really believe what you say you believe? Or are we just offering lip service to God so we can get whatever that inheritance is on the other side? That's the hard question. If we're not walking and bearing these fruits, are we really living the life that God called us to? The prayer is just the beginning. Remember, we talked about that. This is important to Jesus. It comes up in Scripture many times. I'm just going to quote Jesus a couple times. He said in Luke chapter 6 that no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man is just the opposite, right? Luke chapter 13, then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he wants to look for fruit, but it did not have any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for this fruit in the fig tree and haven't found any, so cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it for one more year. I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then I'll cut it down." Now, John the Baptist shared in Matthew chapter 3, verse 8, he said, "Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have the Father, we have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." And I don't want to take that last verse out of context. John is talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees, and he's just telling them that God cares about the Gentiles too. You know, like, God doesn't, if you continue just to obey the law that you've always known, you're going to miss out on something. And that's kind of what he's talking about there. But anyway, if we aren't bearing fruit, we aren't living a life that shows that we believe what we say, but we believe. I'm not trying to say that every single time we act out of the flesh, we know this. God's, every time we mess up, God's not just ready to hurt us, you know, ready to take us out. We all know that. But our goal should be that the fruits of the Spirit show up more often in our lives than these fruits of the flesh. And that's every day, every situation. Search your heart this morning. Search your heart. Am I doing that? I can't give you a magical formula today. Like, I have to act in love 3 times to every 1 time I act out of the flesh. That formula doesn't exist. If it does, and you know about it, let me know. But if I want to receive, make sure I didn't skip something, if I want to receive the inheritance talked about in Galatians 5:21, then I must start choosing to bear fruit. It's really a choice, right? In every single moment, we can choose to get mad and angry, or we can choose to act in love and be kind and gentle in the moment in this situation. When something happens to us to get us upset and mad or depressed and sad, we need to seek the Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to produce joy in those moments. When relationships are contentious, you need to choose to be the peacemaker. Are you choosing to bring peace in these crazy moments, in arguments? When our patience is tested, we need to seek God for that supernatural forbearance. In all situations, we are the ones who should be the first to be kind and loving and gentle. And that's the hard part, right? God's like, you do this. And we're like, God, that's impossible. I can't be the nice one all the time. Sometimes it does require, I'm not saying never confront people. Sometimes you need to do that, but you can do it in a way that is kind, that is gentle maybe, right? The big one for me out of all the fruits of the Spirit is, maybe for you too, but it's self-control. Yeah, that can be tough. You guys ever eat at Casa Tequila right down the street? I'm bringing them up hoping they'll like give me some free food after this, because they're watching, they're not watching. Anyway, when I go there and I sit down and the waiter brings me some chips and salsa, self-control's gone. Basket after basket, you know what I mean? You can kind of tell a little bit, I can't button this shirt, but I don't know what it is. Don't take me to a Mexican restaurant, because I'll eat all of the chips. But for real, it would do me some good to maybe start seeking God in prayer for that self-control. A few chips is fine, JD, not a few baskets of chips. Preaching to myself here. Anyway, to be a good example to those around us, to be a good example to those around me, like I don't want that self-control out of any selfish desire to lose weight or whatever. Whatever fruit of the Spirit you're dealing with the most, like, I need patience in this moment, God. I'm really struggling to deal with this coworker or this family member. Give me the patience to deal with him. Whatever fruit of the Spirit you're trying to get, we can't use it. We can't want it out of selfishness. It's going to get me something. We have to want it because we can be for us to be a good example. It shows the Spirit of God that is living inside me is powerful. He's life-changing. He can do in your life what he's doing in mine. I think it's funny, like, you know, there's some days that you really are on it. You're good. Like, like for me and my kids, there's some days that I'm just like, I would say, I'm a really good dad today. And then there's other days, you know, they have that moment where they can go up to a note that turns a trigger off in your head, and you're just like, I can't handle this. What is going on? Like, I'm a terrible father, you know? Like, I can't, if my kid acts like that, what is my problem? What did I do wrong, you know? We have to learn to be consistent. Like, the good days and the bad, the bad days are going to come. The times we need the most patience, those are going to come, but maybe the next time it happens, we're able to just take a little step and be a little more patient, a little more kind, a little more gentle. I'm going to close with this. Musicians, you can come. Let's go back to that definition. DNA is the molecule inside cells that contains the instructions an organism needs to develop, live, and reproduce. These instructions are found inside every cell of the body and passed down from their parents to their offspring. And I want to focus on these three words as we close. Develop, live, and reproduce. In order for the church to function at its highest possible level, the parts that make up the church need to be functioning at ours. So one, we need to develop the fruit. The Bible says that we're given a measure of the Spirit when we're saved, right? We're given a portion. Those fruits, they're in me. They're in you. Those things, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, those are in me. Those are in you. And in all moments, those can come out, but we have to be seeking the Spirit daily for that. Those fruits aren't going to grow if we're not close to the vine, if the branches aren't connected, if we're not in church when we can be, if we're not watching online when we can't be, if we're not seeking the Holy Spirit in our prayer time. I was thinking the other day, I was like, when was the last time I prayed, Holy Spirit, produce these fruits in my life? Because this is God-given. This is a promise. They're in there. We have to develop the fruit. And we do that by starting with repentance. God, I know in this circumstance I acted impatiently. I know I didn't treat that person with love today. Help me to grow in this area. Start with repentance. That's the best thing to do. God, I know I did wrong. I didn't mean to. It's who I am sometimes. Help me to be better. The next thing we got to do, we develop the fruit, then we got to live the fruit. Once you get to the point where you're looking, where you're actually starting to bear fruit, the next step is easy. We got to let it show. We got to live it in every possible circumstance. We got to be consistent with it day after day after day. You can't be like some crazy mad person one day and then super happy the next. The joy of the Lord's in me, and then the next day you're angry again. Like we gotta be consistent. So we're showing that love to everybody that's around us. And the last thing, we gotta reproduce it. And this may come naturally too. As you're living the fruit, people are gonna notice. And we can't be afraid to tell you, man, the God that's living in me will change your life like he changed mine. Amen. Bow your heads with me. I think the most important part of this message today, I said it just a minute ago, like we're never going to produce these fruits of the Spirit if we're not connected, if us as branches are not connected to the vine. We really have to focus in and say, God, I'm yours. Use me. Show through me. Let your light shine to my friends, to my family. God, let me be everything that you're calling me to be so that our church, God, can function at its best capacity, at its best level. God, I pray that we as Christians take this message to heart this morning and let the word of God change us to bear more fruit, not just walk out of the doors the exact same way we came in. God, we all deal with stuff. You can look down that list on every single person in this room could say, I could use a little more of that fruit of the Spirit in my life. Help us, God, to change in that area. Help us to bear more fruit every day than we did the day before. If you're watching online, we thank you that you're here. I want to give you a moment to, we talked about how the first step is easy, and that step is easy for you this morning. If you would like to give your heart and life to Christ, or if you're in this room and you need to give your heart and life to Christ, I want to take a minute and just say a prayer. But if that's you in this place, would you raise your hand? If that's you online, would you let us know in the comments? I don't see any, but I know that God knows the heart. God knows where this video is going on any given Sunday and who's going to come across it, so I can't not take the moment. So if you guys would with me, let's just say a prayer. Dear Jesus, I thank you for coming to save me. I thank you for loving me. I thank you for your grace. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Dear Jesus, I give my life to you. Take my life. Use it how you want to use it. Help me to be better every single day, more like you. And Jesus, I thank you for your salvation. Help me to live each day as you would have me to live. In Jesus' name. We're going to have the prayer team come forward if anybody needs prayer. If you're watching online, you can send your prayer request to prayer@myspiritlife.tv. If you're in this room and you need prayer, our prayer team is ready to pray for you. So thank you guys for being here. Hope you have an incredible Sunday, and we'll see you next week.